Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Super Bowl. Sorry for not being here yesterday. I was we probably got out of the airport at about 12:15. I got to my domicile at about 12:30. I was going to check in, but then I went,
well, you were in transit.
Yeah.
And I was
and in limbo.
Limbo. I was in limbo. But smooth flight down from the nation's capital down here to West South Florida, but thanks to Oscar. And especially Rob for being a trooper and making his way in, because Rob, you were matching me and you left about the same time I did. So you had to be feeling.
The worst part is when Zoolander said, he came up to me. He said, "Hey, Rob." I said, "Yes." He says, "Guess what time it is?" I said, "What?" He said, "Time for another blue drink."
And yeah, did we ever find out what was in the blue
drink? It's called a blue motorcycle, and it's sort of a blue Curacao version of a Long Island iced tea.
Blue motorcycle.
But if you look on the actual chart, the periodic table chart,
yes.
It is the chemical opposite. Yeah, it's the chemical opposite of aspirin. Because it causes blood thickening, sickness, and headache, and will raise your fever. But so I recommended it, Jimmy's. It's called the Blue Motorcycle. One is plenty. Two, maybe
too much. How many Stella Artois did you have before you had the blue drink?
I really couldn't tell you. But I would say
that is the highest octane. That's the knee buster beer.
Yeah,
you know that,
I would.
Right?
I would say
that's
that
my knee buster beer.
If we were to buy the amount of bottles that I consumed, 3 6-packs would be too many, but 2 would not be enough. So I'm thinking the number was somewhere between 12 and 18. And then there were shots.
He was happy. Yeah. We never saw you turn. There was never the mic turn.
I don't turn.
No, I'm just saying it was an overall great
time.
Oh,
it was a great night. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it was, it was, and the fact is that, as I said to my wife, there was a time when I was speaking to a gentleman out in the beer garden at Jimmy's, and I had finished, at some point, someone had purchased me a Guinness Stout, which, when you're drinking Miller Lite, and yes, there's my endorsement, let's get the contract, sorry with all our dilly-dillies, the fact is that when I switched to that, then I bought one on my own. And
oh,
I was out in the beer garden, and I was speaking to a gentleman who was a close talker, and I looked at him, and I looked at his dental work, and I said, "It's time to leave." And I actually said, "Listen, I'll be right back." And I did the Irish exit. It was not like I was, having anything.
Did he have longish hair?
With a guy.
Do you remember if he had longish hair?
A few of them. Yeah. You know what? When it gets to be the 11 o'clock, 10:30-ish on Super
Sunday
Bowl
night.
Sunday,
yeah.
And everyone is left because they're responsible and they're going home. You know who you're left with there? The people that don't have to go home and don't have to be responsible.
As we refer to them, like the cream.
And I got basically, I wrangled Adrian Garcia and Dan O'Brien, and I was out of there. But this is something I never do at Jimmy's. I self-policed.
How?
I policed myself. I said, "I'm leaving. I am leaving. It is time. You have an early flight. You're going to be up at 5 a.m. You need to get out of there."
You
have
a family
I wrangled
that's
the boys.
Waiting for
yes.
You.
I have
yes.
a family that's waiting for me, and I got out of there. And I still managed to feel like death.
Yeah.
Most of yesterday. And that, so I can only imagine if I had done the normal Jimmy routine, which is, and some of the players were around. I saw some of the people that were there in the wee hours, and they had just arrived. The real night owls had just arrived. And that can very well put me in Jimmy Cerrito's house at 8 o'clock in the morning, missing my flight. And
coloring.
That was not going to happen.
You wake up and Jimmy's coloring and you've got no way to get to the
airport.
He's
coloring because Jimmy, for some reason, Jimmy's a professional. Jimmy does it every night of the week.
He
knows
the genetics. For this.
Yeah.
He has the genetics and the, a liver that's just like his liver's like, but I got out of there. What a wonderful time was had by all. It was
and
marvelous.
How beautiful is his place now?
It's very, very beautiful. I would put doors in different areas, but that's just me.
Hmm.
It
what
just
do you
seems
mean?
To me. The beer garden. I mean, the beer, it's like you have to go through a fire door to get to the beer garden. Yeah, I don't
the entrance to the beer garden does feel like you're coming in a stairwell at an elementary school.
It's not normal.
But and you can also access the beer garden from the street.
You can, like, from Eldon Street.
Yeah, there's an alley.
There's a gate.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a gate.
You don't have to go all the way around back. I think you can come up through that alley.
Yes.
I think when they're doing outdoor events. I mean, that's the way it was designed.
Right.
I don't know why I'm being so urgent, but perhaps because I had too much to drink on Sunday.
Lewis Black for Jimmy's Beer Garden.
I don't understand why Jimmy doesn't have a better door to get to the beer garden. For the love of God, you got to go upstairs, downstairs. You don't know whether you're going through a fire escape or you're going out to have another beer.
Because you're thirsty.
Yes, it was fine. It was a big ball of okay.
The restroom was amazing.
Oh, gorgeous.
The restroom was a 15 on a scale of 10. That's
he
how
really
great
undersold it. You know that? He really did undersell it when he just put the picture of the toilet on Facebook.
He did. Chuck Brown, who is his man, a construction guy, did an amazing job with all the design features out there and working with everybody. They really got it done. And I was very, very proud. And it was very emotional to be there with my friend and watch him with his wife and his daughter, Kelsey, and see how emotional they got, because it really was. That's 5 years. And we joked about Jimmy. We kid about Jimmy. But the fact is that Jimmy went
family business.
It is. And he's so excited to hand it down to Kelsey. But it's still what really always surprises and delights me is what Jimmy focuses on. Because he has doubled and redoubled the size of his restaurant. He has really opened it for the next generation. And I said, Jimmy, the place looks great. He says, did you go in the bathroom and see the beer shelf?
Yeah.
I said, huh?
He says, what he cares
there's
about
a shelf right above the urinal. You can put your drink on it. I said, that's great too.
Probably not sanitary.
That's what Jimmy really gets excited about.
He likes the beer shelf.
It was, you know what? And at the end of the night, as I was waiting for Adrian to go grab the car, I was just sitting out there in his new lobby of the new wing.
Yes.
And just sitting there with my friend, and I promised him I would be there. I was so glad that I could be there, and it was just it was wonderful to experience that. And, you know, and just to hang out with everybody, you know, we've got so many great listeners. SDM was down there. We had some, you know, we had people from all over. I can't list the name of all the people that came up to me. And then that wonderful listener, Linda Herr, who I watched, I think, the last 10 minutes of the game with. And it was just, it was such a spectacular game.
It was.
As far as games go, this is probably in the top four or five Super Bowls. Just a magnificent football contest, and you know, I know you guys talked about it a little bit, but Chris Collinsworth, my God, what did Bob Kraft give you a lifetime contract? I mean, honest to God, he is giving the win to the New England Patriots, and he's going on and on and on. And then when Philadelphia stymied them by causing Tom Brady to fumble, there's silence by Chris Collinsworth.
Well, it wasn't like in the script.
It's like it wasn't in the script that he didn't have it prepared.
Mm-hmm, right.
And all that. And it was just, you know, as far as games go, I took a seat down where the fan club was. And by that time, by the way, Jimmy's was almost full capacity
when
we arrived. All the rooms were filled. And then by midway through the second quarter, people were gone. Yeah. Nobody cared about that game. Nobody cared at all about that game.
No, they were there for us, and they saw us, and they left.
That's right.
They were, but you know, if it had been a Redskins deal, or you'd got teams that you know, it's
that
more
people
exciting
cared about.
New
right
England, Philadelphia was kind of a mad. They've written about that all week long with the entire thing. But I was sitting there in a 1/3 full room because everybody had gone home because they had to go to work, except for people like me. and I'm watching blissfully in front of one of Jimmy's rented televisions, you pay all that money for a wing and you have, but he's got two TVs out in the beer garden that are hardwired.
You can tell if they're rented or not because it will have the sticker that says Aaron's how much energy, how much energy it takes to run this TV for a year. That's how you know.
Watching the game, the end of the game was fantastic. And then seeing all our interns, former and current.
Yes.
And, you know,
and your whole family was there, which was great.
The whole family was there, and at some point, Zoolander made that flip into Pissy Zoo, you know, as he likes to get a little pissy, and it was the second blue drink that did it. It was something that he was talking about, and he said something along the line, but, well, I have 2 degrees. I don't know what he was doing, but he's so
delightful.
It was
probably after his third round of shots that he bought.
I have 2 degrees.
This is a gummy bear theater.
It was.
He's my favorite.
It was fantastic. I love it. It was a good
no
time
fights,
had by all,
which was great.
The, right?
No fights. Mm-mm. No fights at all. It was just happiness. It was everybody happiness. happy, and great food.
The best,
which comes into play later on in the show when I will talk about. Look, I all I know about the story I will tell you today.
Yeah,
and there are multifold stories. I have a lot to talk about because I was not here yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thank you. As I was in the air, the boys were doing the show, and thank you for that. I appreciate that. I have two major stories to tell you, and they both involve air travel. One was not my fault.
Good.
One was completely my fault. Mm. And, you know, frankly, if I could apologize to everybody on the plane, I wouldn't, because I would be too embarrassed. That's the way that
you
goes.
Know, I sat near you for some of the event on Sunday, but I didn't sit by you. I'm curious. Did you order off of Jimmy's exclusive vegan menu?
No. I ordered off the all dead animal menu.
Oh, that's a good. That's on the back page under the kids menu.
Jimmy's beef gravy that he uses for his poutine, where he melts cows. Mm. He actually melts down cows.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how that recipe. Well, he's got a new big kitchen.
I abused my body in every way possible at Jimmy's. That's what I did. And the fact is, if you look on the menu, it says Jimmy's poutine goes great with cigarettes. Good time was had by all. But, you know, listen, we've got the mailbag here. It's a show. Oh, I'm not going to have time.
What do you mean not going to have time? All we have is time.
I have a lot. No, you don't understand. I'm thinking five steps down.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. I like to get everything in. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the mailbag, and then I'll tell you about the worst flying experience in my history of flying that involves terror.
Oh.
Terror, ladies and gentlemen. Not terrorists, but me being terror.
Terror.
Wanted to clarify that one. So play the commercials now.
Right.
I'll go outside to the beer garden, have a smoke. And then we'll come back and do the show. And we didn't see Pony out there. It's nice that he's really disciplining himself.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start the show in a minute. Start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
My wife and I adopted a dog. That's very exciting for us. Yeah. Oh, thank you. She's a pug, so scientifically she shouldn't even exist, so every day's a miracle with our little dumpling. If you can't imagine a pug from the name of the breed, it's one of those dogs, looks like a loaf of white bread with a face smushed onto the front slice and a butt smushed onto the back slice. And if you've never hung out with a pug before, it's kind of like if that loaf of bread came some of the way to life. That's her vibe. She's so cute, I love her so much. Her name is Busy, but it wasn't always. When we adopted her, her name was Daisy, but we didn't like that, so we switched it to Busy, which is very rude of us, because when we adopted our dog, she was 8 years old. You guys get that's middle age for a dog.
Yep.
That's like meeting a 56-year-old human and going, what's your name, Deborah? Nah. I'm going to go ahead and call you Barbara. Hope that works for you. I mean, you better be cool with it, because I control all the food and water, and you're too small to reach the doorknob, so... Anyway, Babs, I was thinking, let's get you into your Halloween costume. And yes, I know it's January, but I'm sad right now, so for the next several hours, you're going to be a ladybug.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Who is that comedian with a sexually ambiguous delivery?
His name is Josh Gondelman.
Just Gondelman. Okay.
But when you go searching for Pug Comedy, his name is at the top of the list.
Pug Comedy. We are live from the Pfeiffer Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on our TMOS app. Mm-hmm. Update it now. Get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And guess what, people?
What?
Valentine's Day is coming up. And it's your time to shine. Luckily, we're going to make it easy for you. Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries have teamed up to impress your Valentine this year with their perfectly paired collection. Go ahead and think inside the box. Get it?
Ah!
this Valentine's Day, do it. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specifically designed box that will keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold. Guaranteed.
So cool.
Right now, our listeners can save 20% on any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with the promo code, you know it, you love it, TMOS. Pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction is always number one or your money back. This is what I want you to do. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29 featuring beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers and freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Visit proflowers.com today and enter the code TMOS at checkout. That's proflowers.com and the code TMOS. Do it!
So cool that they're together in the same package.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta love it.
I know. It's wonderful. And now, without further ado, let's dive right in because it's not about us.
No, no.
It's not about air travel.
No.
It's not about my most embarrassing moment that I'm really weighing whether I'll share it with you, but I've already made the decision or I wouldn't have talked about it. It's about you, ladies and gentlemen.
It's
that is what it's about.
All about you.
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 You. You. You. You.
It's
you.
All about you.
You.
It's all about you.
You.
All the time. All these things that I do.
You.
It's all about you.
You.
It's all about you.
You.
All the time.
I want to be in the Oak Ridge Boys.
Elvira.
How's that throat?
Beautiful. It's a vision,
fellas,
Mike.
I am writing today to celebrate a miracle. Quick backstory. 3 years ago, I caught my wife of 4 years cheating on me.
Ooh.
It was world-ending. Life-devastating. I even wrote Oscar for advice on how to handle it. And he was nice enough to lend his experience and guidance. A nasty but necessary divorce followed, and yet I followed Oscar's advice, focused on work, myself, and being a better human. And I find myself here today, wildly happy, engaged to a woman who is half Bolivian.
Whoa!
What are the odds? And expecting our first child. As father to an upcoming youngest listener, I'm just hoping to hear a quick birthday wish for the love of my life, mother of my child, Monique. She will be overjoyed with just a quick hello from Wayne Newton, who has been glaringly absent from the program as of late. That is absolutely true.
True enough.
That comes to us from Rob Shamblin. And let's see if we can spin the wheel and see if we can get Wayne in here. Okay. Stallion. Stallion. Stallion.
Hey,
got those white stallions,
nice,
from Casa de Shenandoah.
Yeah.
Let's bring Wayne in. Hold on just a second. Wayne's got it. Oh, come on. Wayne. Hold on. Wayne, come on in
come
here.
On, Wayne,
not
come
prepared.
On.
Here he goes.
Mia, I just want to say what a fantastic game. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Did you watch the game?
No, I did not. I was back in my third barn taking care of the peacocks, and now my microphone's going to fall off the stand.
Oh, Wayne.
Sorry about that.
Was that caused by the guinea hens?
No, hold on just a second. This is going to really happen.
The guinea hens.
The guinea hens, they run free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they were in a pen.
No. They run free at Casa de Shenandoah.
Oh, Casa de Shenandoah.
Yeah, which is now really essentially next door. It literally shares a border with the airport.
But isn't it a museum?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't touch the microphone, Mike. That's the rule today. I'd like to say a very happy birthday to Monique. I hope you have a fantastic time. And the baby is wonderful. Great news. From all of us out here at Casa de Shenandoah, I just wanted to say thanks so much. I love you all. And take care of yourself. And please stop this amazing beating up on Mr. Steve Wynn. He does not deserve
it. Is he a good guy?
He's a good American and a true patriot. Yeah, he might get a little handsy, but the fact is, you know, just stop completely. Don't eviscerate that man.
Wayne,
he's a good man. And for God, for the love of God, he can't see.
Wayne,
what?
Is there anything happier than a baby?
There's nothing happier than a bouncing, beautiful baby. A beautiful baby. I was a gorgeous baby.
You were.
If you followed my career, you'd know that I look like a baby until I was 38. Thank you.
Moving right along, guys, I hate that Pony is still smoking.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
So I want to share a tip for quitting. He's not going to quit.
No.
Well, not
ever.
Like this.
No, you're not going to quit.
No, this might work, though. This is a great method.
Right. Guys, here's the tip for quitting. I haven't tried this, but I'm told that it's helped a lot of people quit. I fill a jar with a lid I fill a jar with a lid with his, you know what? Write it so it's the right person.
No,
okay?
It says fill a jar with a lid.
All right. Fill a jar with a lid with his used ashes and butts. And every day, open it and whiff the awful odor. Good luck, Pony.
Yeah, I think that'll just make me sick.
Well, the cigarettes are also going to make you sick by giving you cancer.
Well, yeah, I guess.
So
I don't know. I don't like this idea.
All right.
He doesn't like the idea.
Thanks, Pony. I'm tired of the cigarette thing. I want to send a... go ahead. Kill yourself.
Both of us.
I want to send a happy birthday shout out to Susie Hood. The best... Really, no motivation to... get healthy. I mean, it's not, so I don't care anymore. The best little sister a guy could ask for. She did me the honor of meeting me in NOLA for the amazing live show at the House of Blues. We even had get our pictures taken. All right, you're still, the alcohol's coursing through your veins.
I apologize
for
the typo.
We even had to get our pictures taken with Dennis Murphy.
We even got to get our pictures taken with Dennis Murphy.
Okay. We took the pictures, of course. I love her lots and want to... this is the way I will have to read the mailbag today. I love her lots and want to thank my sister for gifting me the joy of a year of laughter through a bonus show subscription to TMO. I signed Tommy Hood. Thank you, Tommy. Hey, guys, I did it again. I forgot to send a birthday greeting request for my husband, Joel Rogers. Oh, is this Mrs. Rogers?
The Joel Rogers.
Hey, Mike, how about this?
Joel Rogers.
About that.
Nice.
Who are we getting one for? Who did we say we were going to get one? A new one for?
We have one coming for Dirk, I think.
No, wrong.
We have Carla. We have Carla. That we have Dirk.
I don't know.
Carla O'Mara. We got that one.
Yeah.
It was somebody that we said we'd get a jingle for. He was at the appearance. I don't know.
Uncle Dave?
Listening to the TMOS mailbag on the way home from karate the other day. Karate. And Joel Jr. said something like, oh, hey, mailbag. You could do that. My cue to apologize for not sending you an email weeks ago. Joel Sr. is a wonderful dad, a loving husband, and an all-round great guy. Would you please? And I'm sorry I'm late with my request. Rob, did you write it drunk? It's so hard to read this today. It is so hard to read this.
I mean, without totally restructuring her letter, I mean, it's not great writing, and I'm sorry, Mrs. Rogers, that's the God's honest truth. He says, Joel Sr. is a wonderful dad.
You can do that. My cue to apologize for not sending you an email weeks ago. Joel Sr. is a wonderful dad, a loving husband, and an all-round great guy. Would you please... ... I'm sorry I'm late with my request, comma, I'll try to do better next year. What is the would you please?
And then he's, and then she continues. God, it's a, and then she says, "Would you please?"
It's so badly transcribed.
And I'm sorry, I'm late.
No,
I'll
no,
try
no!
To
don't try to punch
year.
Out of it. Come on, tell the truth. Come on, it's you. Can you read that?
Yes, I can. Here it comes,
right. Mrs. Rogers. Senior, Joel happy Senior birthday to Joel. Kathy. Sorry for the lost in translation.
Don't get fancy with your writing, folks.
Oh my God.
Well, anyway. I have a question.
Okay. This will be good.
Why don't you read that letter and see if it works?
All right, it goes like this. Joel Sr. is a wonderful dad, a loving husband, and an all-around great guy.
I don't want the exercise because he's already had a chance to do it. Our next letter, good morning. My name is Mario Sobrino. Mario Sobrino. And last week was my 25th birthday. I've been an avid supporter of you guys and your wonderful sponsors for years. 2 weeks ago, I got an early birthday present from Mr. Oscar Santana, who may know me better as Dapper Doc Fox.
Do you know Dapper Doc Fox? He may be on
Dapper Doc Fox, the Mercy player.
Oh, yeah. He's on Overwatch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Somebody sent you an Overwatch t-shirt, right?
Yes.
There's the Overwatch music. Well. I was waiting to play Overwatch with a friend when suddenly the man himself invited me to play in a group. I was actually able to play with Oscar. That sounds dirty.
Yeah.
During his last two rounds of the night, where he and Todd not only confirmed their level of inebriation, but were playing so recklessly that I had to practically heal them exclusively. I guess that's Overwatch jargon.
Yeah, I guess.
We won the last match, and it was truly... Well, what happened? Is that true? Do you remember that at all?
Well, around, let's say, 11:30 or 11:45. That's ultimate hammer time. One more round before we have to go to bed, right?
When you are drunk and playing one of these first-person shooters...
On PC.
Yeah, do you just shoot everything? You go nuts, right?
Well, there's a strategy to every board. And what happens when we're hammered is Todd and I start yelling at each other, and then we go Leroy Jenkins, which is basically on your own. So everybody thinks they're solo, and they're in Mortal Kombat, and they can jump in and save everyone.
There will be a brief exchange later in the show where I will discuss Todd and Oscar and the dynamic of dinner with them. You know people for a long time, but then you get to sit in with a different perspective and
sure.
figure out how the whole thing works.
Were you able to? Funny.
Yeah, I figured exactly.
Oh, good.
We think we bust balls on this show. It's not even comparable. Just a beautiful little exchange that demonstrated that, and I had to share it. I actually wrote it down. We won the last match. It was truly an awesome way to start 2018. All I ask for my birthday is for Oscar and Pony to share their thoughts on the brand new and wildly successful Professional Overwatch League. Because as nerdy as it may sound, the league is a really bold experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Integrating the dynamics of American sports and video games. Thanks for all you do, Mario Sabrino from Orlando.
Yes.
He's a good boy.
Oh, yes.
He's a good
boy. I have some thoughts, if you don't mind, Mike.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
The Olympics are a waste of money and time, and so is Overwatch online. Because... For at least Overwatch, there are nation teams for this game, right? Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch, and I'm jealous that half these guys get paid six figures just to play the game. So that's cool for the overall gaming factor, but you're still just playing a video game.
Sure.
Dear Mike, Rob, our last letter, Rob, I believe.
Yes, this is.
Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and assorted interns, I'd like to thank Oscar for reminding me of a Bitcoin purchase I had made several years ago and completely forgotten about. I was listening to episode 1922 or 1923. I remember that I actually made a very small Bitcoin purchase some years back, a $15 investment.
Mm.
I spent the next hour and a half chasing down the details of that purchase so that I could actually see my balance. After great effort... There it was.
Hey.
My tiny balance of Bitcoin now valued at $255.
Nice.
So thank you, Oscar, for inspiring my lazy ass to track down that old purchase before the bubble burst. I wish, of course, that I had bought more than $15 worth, but I figure if it had been too much more than that, I probably wouldn't have let it lie for 3 years. My wife would have insisted I retrieve the money sooner, and so I would not have had... And so I would not have an extra couple hundred much-needed dollars for our household.
Yeah. And he can hide it from his wife.
Yeah, $255, that's not enough to make you all prudent. It's just a nice little bonus.
Now we can get our car fixed and still be able to afford to partake in our favorite pastime, smoking ourselves stupid after work every day and listening to TMOS together.
Hey.
Is that smoking the wacky tobacco he's talking about?
You know, if it takes you 3 years to find an investment, I'm thinking probably yes.
Yeah, it's the Garcia factor. Yes. Yeah. Thanks to all, especially Oscar. Love and peace, the Hudson brothers.
Oh,
I'm sorry, the Hudsons.
Yeah. Thank you.
The Hudson brothers, all three in one box on Hollywood Squares.
All right, which do you want? Do you want fear at 1,000 feet, or do you want... ruining the experience for other travelers.
Can we have both, but fear first?
Yes.
That's what I would
when
like.
We come back and buy my favorite new airline, JetBlueIt. Anyway, we'll take a break, and my JetBlueIt stories coming back when we on the other side of this break on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be back.
Fridays on the More Network. Red Hot Extra Show Action.
Bonus.
You think five shows a week are enough? You're wrong!
Bonus!
See the Bluminator transform into a 30-foot-tall, tech-supporting, smoke-billowing robot. Watch Rob Spiewak jump this hot rod music machine over 50 interns and make them cry. You want DC douchebaggery? We've got Santana. We've got scholarships. And we've got spite houses.
Drain the swamp.
Speaking of swamps, Mike O'Mara is killing it in Cocoonville.
Titanium hips.
There might be cussing.
Bonus.
Get it now. Mike O'Mara Show.
.com.
Awesome.
Awesome, oh awesome, God. Awesome.
That is fantastic. Who's the author of that one? Let's give credit where credit is deserved.
Another strong one from Mr. Eric Quick. Thank you, Eric. Good job.
Eric Quick, keep them coming. We like that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hear ye, hear ye. Introducing the latest TM Soft creation, Playapod. I got an eyewitness view from the creator himself over the weekend. Available for Android and iOS, Playapod is the best way to listen to any podcast. Playapod allows you to easily search and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts. Man, is this app beautiful. Plus, it has cross-platform syncing, so you can grab any device and continue playback right where you left off. And Playapod is also the only app that displays exactly what you've listened to or skipped over so you can go back. And with time-coded bookmarks, you can quickly replay your biggest laughs and your favorite moments. It works great for TMOS. But the best part about Playapod, it's free. Playapod is free, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah!
And more good news, TM Soft is hard at work updating all of the TMOS apps so that they will soon be powered by Playapod and enjoy all of the same feature. Great feature.
All exclusive features.
I'll read it again.
Yes.
And be powered by Playapod and enjoy the all of same great features.
All of the same great features. They're in every one, Mike. It's going to be great.
So what are you waiting for? Getting better every day.
No, the key.
Just visit
playapod.com.
Yeah.
Playapod.com.
Just visit playapod.com or search for Playapod on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Again, that's Playapod by TM Soft. Download it for free. Download it today.
Boom, awesome. Bam. Write a nice review.
Please review these and edit them.
Yes.
Rewrite them where they need to be corrected. Please.
Okay.
Please. Very, very important.
Tell them that Rob's grammar sent them.
What's that?
When he reviews on iTunes.
Ah, yes, of course.
It'd be fun to see.
That is, I saw Playapod. I really did the other night, and it was spectacular. It really was. It was so. I cannot wait to be listening to our show when it gets updated for TMOS.
Yes.
It is so neat to see. And he was showing me Playapod with TMOS on it. Was it beta testing, they call
beta
that?
Beta testing.
And it was marvelous. All right, so now onward and upward onto the flight. I told the guys this. Excuse me. I told the guys this, but I did not get a chance to tell you. And as everybody knows that's listened to me for any length of time, I'm just a bit of a nervous flyer, bordering on phobic. But it's been years since it's really come to the forefront because...
You're better now than you used to be,
much
yes?
Much better. Much better because I've flown a lot. I've flown all over the country and, I fly and I don't get all that phase. Well, I'm here to tell you that the incident of this past weekend has brought back the phobia to the front of the brain. Yes, sirree, ladies and gentlemen. Jet Blew It. is a regular
go-to
customer.
Your go-to.
It's my go-to because they fly to Boston and they fly to D.C. from West South Florida. So I had a JetBlue It flight, and it was for me and Mrs. O'Mara, the little guy, so we could fly up to Jimmy's and celebrate the grand opening of the brand new Buffalo Wing. And I was excited to do that. And really, to be honest with you, the only thing that wigs me out flying-wise now is when I travel with Carla without the little guy.
Oh.
It kind of freaks me out because I think to myself, what the hell would happen? And I even talked to Oscar and Shannon about that and said, with our little guy and all this, I get nervous about that. But when we're all together, it's kind of cool because we're flying as a family. We're all there side by side. And I got everybody that's important to me, and it just makes me feel a lot more secure. And it's great to see him on an airplane. It's great to see him growing up and easier to travel.
Yeah, you had posted on Facebook with him with a pair of headphones on. Is he sort of becoming more self-sufficient now?
Yeah. The we're past that age where it's super needy.
Yeah.
And and I saw some kids that were there was another 4.5-year-old or 4-year-old-ish kid that was the same way, and it's just the point where you can travel with them and it's cool. And then you see the little bitties and they're a handful, especially on an airplane.
So, Carrie's just gotten to that point and it's
where she can fly.
She's less needy.
She has the flu. How's she feeling?
She's at work today. She's back to work.
Okay.
It hit her on Sunday night. She was out for the count yesterday, though. Pretty
so
rough.
It's not the real flu then, right?
No, I don't think it's not the one that's killing children. So.
Okay, very good. Because, you're supposed to be contagious 7 days after
not
that.
Go to work.
Did she think about that?
Well, her thought was, since the kids probably gave it to her in the first place, she wanted to get back to the school and give it back. She's all about giving back, Mike.
Okay. So we are... We get to the airport, and the thing about JetBlue, it's not all that well-traveled on Saturday morning, which was a big surprise. Not even Saturday morning. It was like 11 o'clock flight on Saturday, really? Middle of the day. And I would have thought that it was, you know, people coming back from their little vacays and it might have been crowded. It was not. And so we have a blissfully maybe 80% loaded flight, which is great on a little Embraer jet. That's a little Brazilian jet that I really like. They're the regional jets that are big enough to accommodate a lot of people and everything's hunky-dory and fine. Now, JetBlue has been around long enough where they're not the new flavor anymore. All right. JetBlue is not the new, oh, we've got the TV screens.
No, they're
isn't
a standard.
That wonderful?
They're a standard.
Yeah, they're kind of a standard with
airlines. The
airline.
Bloom is off the rose as well.
The bloom is off the rose with everything with JetBlue. They're just another airline. That's the way I would describe that. And now we get ready. And the cool thing is with less people on this airplane, they come in early and they get us onto the plane early. And lo and behold, they are probably closing that door about 10 minutes before they normally would close. And I'm like, wow, we're going to get up there super early. Mm-hmm. Then they push back. We're on the tarmac. And I'm very, very excited because it looks like we're going to get up there super early. And he fires up and he just books it out to the primary, the active runway, as it's called. And then as we get to the runway, there's one plane in front of us and there are two planes that landed. So it's a little bit of a delay. And then the one in front of us takes off. And then we wait for one more plane to land. And then he does the thing. If you've ever taken off from a major airport, there are two ways they do it. They go to the end of the active runway and they stop and then they get clearance and they power off.
Right.
And the other thing they do is that they roll onto the runway and they hit it full throttle. Kind of the, I always kind of consider that the Navy way to do it. You know, the fighter jet pilot guys that do that. So what this guy does is that he turns onto the active runway and he starts to power up, but not full power. And then it's not full power. And then it's not full power. And then he slows down and he takes a left-hand turn. So he is rolled out.
How fast do you realize that something's amiss on this approach to take off?
When we got about a third of the way down the runway and he's not accelerating.
Okay.
He's like tapping the brakes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, if you accelerate now, we're going to run out of runway. So he takes a left and it's a, I think it's overly dramatic to call that an aborted takeoff.
But that's what it is.
But it really was not. He didn't take off. I mean, he was on the primary runway, so I guess that's exactly what it
was. Especially with these modern jets where they essentially fly themselves.
Right. And, yeah. And he, so he gets
cruise control. Just put it in eco mode and off to the races.
So Zoom. He takes a left-hand turn, doesn't go on the side back to the airport. He goes on the left-hand side and hangs a Huey and comes back down to the end of the runway, and we stop. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. It seemed like forever before, what should I call the pilot? Junior decides that he's going to give us an update. He's like, well, I can do it. Hold on. Let me see. I might as well try the new technology.
Please. New technology.
Golly, everybody. Hi, this is your pilot, Junior. And we got an indicator light that came on just a minute ago. And the indicator light sort of indicated that we have to get something checked out with maintenance. We'll get back to you.
So it goes off. It goes off like that. And that's
like
it.
You got to check engine light.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're going to be that vague, exactly, why say anything at all?
Well,
because he didn't offer anything.
So 40 minutes goes by and he comes back on. He goes,
okay, it's your pilot. I apologize for the delay, everybody. Let me just say that I've been on the phone with maintenance. Yeah.
Sounds like he's got a wooden phone up there. It sounds like he's, you know, like he's got a crank phone that's up here.
I've been on the phone with maintenance, and it seems that the plane is safe to fly.
That's the first thing this idiot said. The plane is safe to fly. Do you know what that is to a phobic flyer? That's saying the plane is not safe to fly.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we aren't going to be able to... There's my microphone. There we go.
The microphone is safe to fly.
Safe to use,
the microphone
yes.
is safe,
safe
to fly.
To fly.
This is wonderful. So the...
We can always do the rest of the show as the pilot. Yeah.
For those of you at home...
I hate my job. I hate my job today. I've got a 1-inch lip and I've got a 4-inch... clamp that goes onto it, and it's not going to work.
Mike's
I can't
booming.
Tell my story, but I'm going to power through. So.
Please, because you're a professional.
So here we go. So we actually, he gets on and he says, the plane is safe to fly, but they can't fly at the altitude they were going to fly at. So transportation, air traffic control has to give them another route, where they have to get another route, and it's going to take a little while. So I'm understanding that whatever is wrong with the plane, it's safe to fly, but they can't fly at the altitude that they wanted to fly, which to me seems a little dicey.
So as a rube, you know, that means they have to fly lower, right?
Yeah, he has to fly lower. And he said, we're just checking on the fuel requirements for that, which means, you know, I guess they don't want to run out of gas. This will come to play later in this story.
Okay.
All right. So that he mentions the fuel, but then, you know, you're trapped. You can't say, excuse me, this sounds a little dicey, and you just have to grin and bear it. And he's communicating just enough to let us know what's going on. So we finally get clearance, and we get clearance to take off. Yes, Oscar?
This is the same feeling for those of you that don't fly as much as Mike does. But if you rent a car, when you get the rental and they say, oh, there's something wrong with the air pressure on the tires, but don't worry about it. It's a faulty sensor. So then you get into the car.
It's a bad sensor.
And you realize, no, this just isn't driving right. So you turn around and give back the car. And said, all right, we're going to get you a new car. We're actually going to upgrade you, but we're going to have to go find the car in the lot. But nobody knows where the keys are.
Right.
You have no control.
They're going to have you sit in the lounge.
You have no control whatsoever.
Have a seat in the lounge. We'll be glad to help you as soon as we can.
This is infinitely worse because you're going to be in the air in this car with the low tire pressure.
I have no control over this microphone whatsoever.
No.
That's it. I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying.
Mike, we see you on camera, man, and I feel your pain.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Doing a yeoman's job.
I've never had someone pull off or abort a actual takeoff.
I've never been in an aborted takeoff.
Right?
It would seem that there's a checklist before takeoff that if something were to go wrong, it would be spotted before they actually, you know, drop the accelerator down.
And the only time I ever think you would do that, for some reason, I feel like when you're overseas, in South America especially, there's always some sort of issue, right? Right. But in the States,
no, we got it going on.
It should be running like clockwork.
And as he said, I mean, I know the bloom is off the rose at JetBlue, but it's still a relatively young fleet.
I thought JetBlue was better than Southwest.
Certainly
more expensive.
Well, it's just that they're not as new, and they're just kind of tired, and they seem like they're disinterested. So we get the clearance to go, and he gives us this explanation, which is caused not tremendous terror, but it is actually, thank you. It's caused not tremendous. Tremendous terror, but a little bit of terror, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we take off, but no problem. It's
you're
fine.
Ill at ease,
it's no problem.
But in
remember
the
fuel part. So we make our way up to Washington, D.C. We're going to be about 40 minutes late getting in, and we arrive, and they come out and said,
ladies and gentlemen, the weather in Washington, D.C. Winds out of the south at 18 miles per hour, and we will be landing from the north today. And now I know National Airport enough to know that landing from the south is my preferential deal.
You come up the lovely Potomac River with a beautiful view of Alexandria on the left as you're flying in. And when you come in from the north, you get a beautiful view of the city of Washington, D.C. on the left. And as you approach D.C., because of security restrictions, this is the flight path. You turn left, then right, then left, then right, then left, then right, then left, then right, then really, really right, then really right, then left, then really, really right again. It's ridiculous.
It is.
And it is known as one of the toughest landings in the United States. Mm-hmm. It is one of the toughest landings because it's just, but there's another school of thought that says, well, the pilots really pay attention. So we come in and about when we start
they should be anyway.
Well, yes, you're right.
I mean,
but
really,
I mean, it's not like a big, long air, you know, airstrip like Denver or Dulles Airport.
Yeah. Right.
So we're landing in D.C. And I prefer Reagan to Dulles because you get out of the airport quicker. So
yeah,
I'm okay
smaller
with
airport.
That. So we're landing. We come through. And when we get through to a little bit lower altitude, probably about 8,000 feet, it starts bouncing. And we're blowing pretty good up there. A lot. More than I thought we would. And then you realize that you're in this tin can Brazilian jet that is just, that's just not well made. That's the way I was looking at it.
Okay.
It just doesn't feel that secure up there. And we're bouncing. But we start to see the beautiful view, absolutely crystal clear day. You see Georgetown University on the left.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this is good. You know, once you get rid of the fear, and I've spent a lifetime getting rid of this fear since the TWA aborted landing 40 years ago.
Yes.
And I'm starting to, you know, get relaxed and go, okay, that's good. And you see, and he gets over, and you see he's over the bridges, and then he gets over
lower.
The park. And the gear is down, and I said, oh, God, I'll be glad when this is over.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, he just pegs it, and he aborts the landing. And I, at the top of my lungs, I go, God damn it! And Carla looks over at me and goes, Tom, what are you doing? Said, really, well, I'm not going, oh, my God, we're all going to die. But I'll tell you, the aborted landing, for whatever reason, I've been on these before, and normally the plane goes straight up in the air.
Sure.
This guy, it seemed like it was quite a challenge to get this airliner up to where it was going to be. And then he flies and flies and flies. Once again, no communication. Because when you're a pilot, you don't communicate because you're too busy doing all the other stuff that the other guys do automatically, and you're trying to noodle it through. So he finally gets on to get. And by the way, the average American flyer, half the people on that plane don't even know what just happened. Me, I got my face pressed up against the window, going, "Oh my god!"
Do you really think people are that unaware that they don't even realize an aborted landing?
Tons of people are that. Of course not. People don't pay attention to that kind of crap.
Wow.
So he goes around, and then but he says, "Sorry about that," there, and then he gives that standard pat answer where there was traffic on the runway. There's never. He was too high, too fast, or a combination of both. He wasn't prepared for the landing.
They wouldn't clear him. They wouldn't clear him if there was traffic on the runway.
Now, by the way, it's fine because, you know, better that than coming down. If you're like Don Rickles, better that than up there. But the fact is that, you know, like for a casino.
God forbid.
Yeah. God forbid. You know, down, better down here than up there. But the fact is, so he goes around. Oh, God, I'm running out of time. And he comes back in and he lands and everything's fine. All right. When we get off the plane, I see him because I didn't even look at the guy before. And it's Tom Hanks' son. It's Colin Hanks.
Oh, okay.
Only a younger version of Colin Hanks, who looks exactly like the kind of tentative pilot you would not want to have, where he's just like, thanks for flying JetBlue it, sir.
A greenhorn.
It was terrifying.
Oh,
and I was shaken up for the rest of the weekend. And then yesterday, I look over at Carla. Carla doesn't care. She's braver than I am. My son's watching a video.
Right.
Neither one of them got nearly as affected as I did, except Carla is stoic. Where I'm over there, I'm doing everything but crossing myself. You
know, just going, well, I know
Mother
I was
Mary,
mad.
please pray for, you know, Mother Mary, our mother, Notre Dame, our mother.
I know anyway, I was mad because I picked you up 24 hours later and we were heading to Jimmy's. I said, how is the trip in? You said, well, aborted landing and aborted takeoff. And it was like, okay.
An aborted takeoff and an aborted landing on the same flight.
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty. And then, and by the way, the flight down, no problem at all. A little fast on the landing, but it was okay because I said to Carla, and this one, Carla looked at me like I'm a complete rube idiot. She looks at me and I said, hey, see the pilot? Gray hair. Big grin on my face. Gray hair. Yes, sirree. And maybe because of Jimmy's, maybe because of fear of flying, but I have one last airliner story that it does not involve Jeff Blewett.
Ah.
It involves yours truly and something I vowed that I would never do.
Oh.
That I would never do in my lifetime.
This is the payoff.
And I say thank you, Jimmy. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike and Mary Show. Some say you do.
Cake and cookies.
Hi there. This is Katie. On this week's Cake and Cookies, we discuss smartphones, stupid computers, hillbilly Mexican accents, and my ground rules. We also introduce Cake and Cookies' new caller commentator, the CNC CC.
Yep, she took a muscle relaxer.
It's either the best of shows or the worst of shows. You decide.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We are brought to you today by Stamps.com. Can you believe it? Postage rates have gone up again. So let Stamps.com keep your rates down with postage discounts up to 40%. Discounts that you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com saves you 3 cents on every letter you send. That's 2016 prices for 2018 stamps.
Awesome.
Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail by using your own computer and printer. And then the mail carrier picks it up. It's that easy. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale. You automatically calculate exact postage, and they even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk with Stamps.com. We have used Stamps.com forever. Because it saves time, hassle, and money. And right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, and enter TMOS. Boom. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
The man is fluish.
I'm not fluish. Well, 1/8.
Anyhow, where was I? Okay, so on the flight back to
why do you sit separate from your family?
What's that?
When you're on a plane, why do you sit separate from your family, or do you all
sit together? Well, I didn't. I sat with my son next to me on way down, and then he, because we, on both flights, it was two and two, and Mama had an empty seat next to her, so he eventually crawls over to hang out with her, and he takes off with me, hangs out with her during the middle of the flight.
Because it's ideal if it's a three and three to have him in the middle.
Be perfect.
Yeah, because it doesn't take up any room at all.
They're small jets. And so I get on the plane, and I am truly, tired and jimmied out and Super Bowled out. And we left Linda's place at about 5 o'clock in the morning to get to the metro station. We took metro right to the airport. And I'm delighted to say that the metro announcer now is irrelevant, because now they have a lovely lady that's on there, and she just does the perfect. The next stop is Metro Center. Doors open on the left. So we no longer have the it doesn't exist anymore.
In my heart, it's always you.
It will always be that. Always. It shall always exist. It will never die.
Kind of sad, you know, but boy, was it easy to understand. You know, it's an automated computer voice like Alexa, and everybody's happy, I think, with that right now.
Just quick sidebar. Why wouldn't Linda drive you to the airport?
She had to go to work. She had to go to work out where she is. So she drove us to the Wheatley Avenue brand new Silver Line station.
Oh yeah, the Silver Line take you right into Tyson's, and then I guess you transfer.
That's it. We transferred in Roslyn, and we go to the airport. Bingo, bingo, and you're right there at the airport. It was beautiful.
Just another question. Yes. Why couldn't she have driven you to the airport and then gone to work a little later?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not quite sure.
I tell you what, after the show's over, Oscar, why don't you give her a call and see if you can ask her?
I'll give her your number, Oscar.
Yeah, be nice.
You guys can discuss
send her an email.
We're on there, and Carla, apparently I came home and I was a little manic talking about the activities of the day and really, really excited and kind of happy. And Carla finally said, you have to go to bed. And so I went to bed at like 12:30.
Boy, they hate it when we're happy, don't they?
Though it's, she didn't watch the game. They had a little wine. And so we're up at 5, hit the road by about 5:25, hit the metro station. To all the people that slay the dragon on that metro, all the people that have their noses in their phones and stuff, and nobody's, you know, it's just.
Majority of our listening audience.
I appreciate the hard work you put in, and just what a slog that is, you know. But public transportation is A-okay when you can get into the city and do it like that. Yeah. I'm glad they're building these stations further out to maybe chill out on the traffic, you know. And it's nice to be on it. It was cool for the little guy. He's never even been on a train before.
Oh, cool.
Outside of those little kind of trains, they take tourist trains and stuff like that. So it was cool to get on there. We make our way in. It was easy. The timing was right. I timed it right. And we get on the plane. And as soon as everybody's situated, my little guy's got his headphones on. The plane takes off, and we're probably an hour into the flight. And I had put my head against the window, and I'm just not conscious.
Gone.
I'm just going back and forth. I opened my eyes when we hit a little turbulence, and at that particular moment, I don't want to say that this was involuntary, but because maybe it really wasn't. But I thought that what I released would be voluntary, but small. And it ended up not being small.
Mm.
And if to be honest with you, if I could give you the length of time, I tried to do this for Carla, but it would have been, I didn't hear anything because I had my earbuds on. So if there's anybody on the plane that heard it, I would have to apologize to them too. But it was basically this. This is the length, okay? I know instantaneously that I've done something horribly, horribly wrong. Something that I have felt ought to be punished by imprisonment. I have railed against it.
Yes.
And within a nanosecond, I was engulfed by something truly, truly evil.
Wow. You weren't wearing nose buds?
You could actually put a movie out about it. It was that you could put
Backdraft.
The creature. It could be called Backdraft would be it. And by the way, came out the front. So if there was noise, I'm sure there was noise. And Carla is in the seat across from me sleeping. Otherwise, she would have immediately looked over at me and said, did you do that? But it was. And at that point, I put my head down on my chest and I freeze. Because for some reason, my paranoia, I think maybe people are looking at me.
You don't want to look around.
Right. I don't want to look around and just go, sorry about that. It was.
And you really shouldn't stand and bow.
It was nightmarish.
Yeah.
It was horrifying.
No escape.
My apologies to everyone. It was the worst. If I had been on a plane and experienced it, I would have probably started sleuthing. I would have tried to find the source and go, who, what monster did that?
Yeah,
and I have to say, I am not proud of this. It was horrifically embarrassing. And I am telling you that the black cloud of death hung over my seat for probably 5 to 7 minutes.
Now,
not dissipating at all.
Did you turn
it
on your air vent?
Horrible.
Above you? Did you turn on your air vent?
No, that's a tell. No, I'm not going to turn my
tell.
If I turn my air vent on, that would be like, whoa, how about that? Yeah. Blow it to somebody else's seat. No, I was hoping that it would just fall to the ground. That's what I was hoping would happen. And it was horrible. Horrible. And I am embarrassed.
The air pressure didn't keep it down.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. And thank you, Jimmy's. You know, I'm sorry. I'm a vegan. I don't eat that stuff very often. You know, so I mean,
reaction.
And it was horrific. It was absolutely horrible.
Now, so next to you at this point, did you have an empty seat or did you have your son?
My son was over next to Mrs. O'Mara.
So was it an empty seat next to you?
It was an empty seat.
Well, thank God for that anyway.
Carla is like curled up and he's like sitting on top of her legs and watching his tune, and they're all happy and cozy over there. When Carla woke up about 25 minutes before we were going to land, she looked over and said, by the way, no, this was actually, we were driving out of Southwest Florida Airport.
Stayed on her mind.
Was that you on the plane? And I went, yep. And so I was not, because, you know, we flew with somebody that used to do that on purpose.
Yeah.
And it was not funny to anybody but him. And I just, it was not anything I'm proud of. I'm very, very embarrassed.
I think it's happened to the best of us, but.
Well, so often a flight follows a big day.
Can I say this, though? I certainly wasn't the only one. On that particular
okay.
flight.
That's okay, true. Okay. But were you the leader?
I was the leader of the pack. I was the winner. Who's the big winner on the airplane?
Mikey wins. Right.
Maybe it was my subconscious way of saying thank you for the aborted land.
You also brought us a product years ago, Mike, that you can actually sit on a charcoal pillow when you're on a plane.
Yeah. If you're, what if you see somebody slinging that onto a plane?
I'd like to ask to be removed from the exit road, please.
It was horrible. It was horrible. And then the last thing, because I won't do it unless I get it out.
Please.
My dinner with Todd and Oscar on Saturday night after the aborted landing. And Oscar and I had a great, great meeting with the wonderful people who we share office space with here in D.C. And then it was off to dinner. Oscar was nice enough to get an Uber for us and pop for an Uber, drop me off at a hotel. I stayed in a hotel on Saturday night. It was great. And it was off to dinner at Clyde's with Todd and his lovely bride-to-be, Marissa. He better put a ring on her finger. And Oscar
She's
Santana, who has been smart enough to put a ring on the finger of his beautiful wife, Shannon, who picked me up at the airport that day. I love these people. I love hanging out with them. And they have their own dynamic, which is I can see why you all are best friends and why you love to hang. It's so much fun. But I'm at the end of the table, the head of the table, and I've got Todd on my left and I've got Oscar on my right. Okay. And Todd, if Todd is anything, he is a contrarian. He loves to argue.
He
loves it more than anything. He loves to pick scabs. And here is the exchange when the wine had really been flowing, and it might have been wine or Jack and Diet. I'm not sure. But the fact is, Todd's buzzed, Mike's buzzed, Oscar's buzzed. And Oscar's probably the most buzzed at this particular juncture. I wasn't around that much later, but I'm sure everybody was by that time. And Oscar looks over at me, and I'm bitching about something at the table because I was kind of in a bitchy mood because I almost died earlier.
Right.
And so I said something, and then Oscar looks at me and goes, let me ask you this. Whatever makes you truly happy? What makes you truly happy?
Oh, no. You did?
Because he was bitching the entire time.
I was bitching the entire time. And I said to the table, basically, I mean, you know what makes me happy? When all of my kids and my family are all under the same roof doing something together. And I'm going to have that Sunday at Jimmy's. Going to have both daughters and my son and my wife all under the same roof. That's what makes me truly happy. And Todd doesn't miss a bit and goes, that's bullshit. Anyway, it was, and I said, that sums it up. And I made a little mental note to say, that is, and I laughed harder at that than anything.
That's BS, because he goes, Oscar told me that you said you wanted your own hotel to be alone tonight.
That's right. Well, see, now you're doing the Todd Moore. The Todd Moore pyramid of arguing that he did, too. I said, well, that's because it's just my wife and my mother-in-law who are having their me time with my son back in Ashburn. I don't need to be there tonight. I don't want to haul the way there. I'm tired. And that's why I left early and I went to bed, Todd. But thank you.
Said, now, that's P.S. Oscar told me you got a hotel room to be away from your family. Isn't that what it is?
said, yes, well, Todd, it's not exactly like that. And then, of course, everything, I don't know. All right, thank you. Thank you. Pass the wings.
We did go to the piano bar, and yes. You did leave early.
I left early after I bought a round of drinks. Yeah, you guys very bought nice everything for me. And Todd called me on that, too. Oh, that's the move, huh? Buy a round of drinks on your way out the door. Or maybe even Marissa, who's probably becoming Todd, probably mentioned that as I was on my way out.
I think it's a class move. It's a distraction. It's sleight of hand.
Far too hip a room, far too young a room, but I enjoyed talking with your wife about the gray-haired piano player who she considers, and I consider, to be turbo creepy.
is he? Why?
In a room with 20-somethings and early 30-somethings, and he's playing the piano, and he was a perv. And okay. Shannon is absolutely right about
all
that.
Right,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break, and we will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
I have a major announcement. This week's Omeracast is all new and ready for you. Hi, Jim Amato here, and this week I'm sitting in for Marcus Serta.
Oh, yeah.
My special guest, Mac Bergson. There were some big announcements last week in the More Network, and we have one of our own. Download the show and get the details on the TMOS app, on iTunes, or at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by eHarmony. If you've tried online dating, chances are you've run into lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, and random matches that never materialize. You can't get to know someone just by looking at their picture, and you'll never swipe left or swipe right into a lasting relationship. eHarmony is unlike any other online dating site. It's built to help you find lasting, meaningful relationships. It's not a shallow hookup site. They have helped over a million mm-hmm. people find their perfect match. eHarmony uses years and years of science data and psychological research to send you the right matches. There are plenty of hookup sites out there, but that's not what eHarmony does. eHarmony brings people together, compatible people. Right now, our listeners can get a free month with eHarmony when they sign up for a 3-month subscription. Just enter the code TMOS at checkout. Stop waiting. There's somebody out there for you. Yeah. Start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you are ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's only one app that's built to bring you real love. That's eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started and enter the code TMOS at checkout. That's eHarmony.com. You are going to love it.
News.
Boo. Philadelphia fans literally went nuts after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Super Bowl! In this case, literally is not an exaggeration, because one guy celebrated the championship by eating horse poo.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
He just got right down on his hands and knees in front of a pile of feces and took a bite.
That's great.
And, of course, a crowd of his fellow Philadelphians gathered around, egging him on and filming him. And just a reminder, this is happening in the context of celebrating a Super Bowl.
Sure.
All right. Of course, there were plenty of Philadelphians who didn't eat poop, but who did celebrate the Super Bowl by trashing their own city. Yay!
Hey, was that poop wet or poop went out?
There were the notorious light pole climbers whose efforts resulted in toppling light poles. One guy almost died while riding a traffic light above the street. There were overturned cars. Someone was running around naked in an eagle mask. Acrobatics on top of hotel awnings. Crazy trust falls from light poles. And there were city trees being uprooted and stolen. Dancing on top of cars.
They
setting
stole
fires.
Trees?
They stole trees, Rob.
They stole trees.
City trees.
Yeah.
At least one gas station was looted. The windows at Macy's were smashed. People jumped into subway tracks. People scaled the gates at City Hall. People flung money into the crowd to make it rain. It's Philadelphia after the big win, ladies and gentlemen. People jumped on the back of ambulances, surfed on top of cars. Some climbed on dump trucks and city buses. And miraculously, the city says that no one died.
Hey!
Yeah. Nothing says or signals to a big company like Amazon.
Right.
Come to Philadelphia.
Yeah. We're ready for your business. No one died, although Philly was left looking like a war zone. On the less destructive side, there was a brass band that was playing from a fifth-story window, and some guy proposed to a woman holding a 40 of Old English. It was mayhem.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
What he should have proposed is getting out of town. Absolutely, get out of here.
It was everything I expected it would be. They didn't disappoint.
They did not let us down.
The awning collapsing. That video alone that you see online or what you saw on SportsCenter or on the news, that in itself said everything you need to know about Philadelphia.
Yep.
And it's great to see Bill Belichick in a post-game news conference when he's being a dick, and it's almost legitimate because they lost. Now, this is the big controversy with this, okay? Malcolm Butler is arguably the New England Patriots' best cornerback, so a lot of people were surprised when he didn't play a single defensive snap in Super Bowl 52. Even Butler was. He said, quote, "They gave up on me. It is what it is. I don't know. I guess I wasn't playing good, or they didn't feel comfortable, but I could have changed that game." That's right there. Can I just say this on the side of whoever the coaches were? That quote right there, after your team loses, is to me why you were benched.
If you've got that level of character. If you're distancing yourself from a loss, then you don't belong a part of a team, ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's just right there. The guy is being a child, and that's probably... it's impossible to know if the Patriots would have fared any better with Butler on the field, but New England did lose because their defense couldn't get any stops, and Butler had played 97.8%. Who does that stat? 97.8% of the defensive snaps in the regular season. There's talk that Butler's sickness led to a bad week of practice, but there are also rumors that he missed a curfew, and one reporter claims that Butler got caught with weed when he came back to the hotel and had a meltdown on the coaches. Coach Bill Belichick said it wasn't disciplinary and that the decisions were made to put the team in the best position to win. In any event, Butler is probably done in New England. He's an unrestricted free agent, and after what happened, it's hard to imagine the Patriots bringing him back. When I mention Belichick, it's because the press conference where Belichick was asked about it, he's his usual stoic, doesn't give any real answer self about that, so we may never know because they're so tightly controlled.
I think it would be great if it came out that Belichick was a big pothead.
And that organization started breaking up right before the Super Bowl. The fight between Brady, Belichick, what is happening with that team?
And again, that coat.
Oh my
Brady
God,
wore.
The women's coat he wore to the stadium.
Oh, the gray woman's coat with the earbuds. Yes, and then he changed buses. There were a couple of things. Remember when they closed down the Mall of America just for the Patriots players and they gave him a day off and they got to ride?
Yeah.
I said, that's not a Belichick move.
No.
A Belichick move is ball busting, toughness, and doing it. There was a little, you know, a little blip on the radar with that, and I thought it could happen, but you know, you can't argue with the Philadelphia performance. It really was fun to watch, and it's nice to see the underdog win. It is.
Always.
When nobody, you know, especially when a team is just expecting it. I hate that more than anything, and they were expecting to win. This is a sad story. Actor John Mahoney died Sunday at his home in Chicago. He was 77. He was best known for playing Kelsey Grammer's dad on the sitcom Frasier from 1993 to 2004. Yeah, he was 77, meaning he was only in his early 50s when Frasier started.
Younger than I thought. You too, huh? I mean...
His film credits include Tin Man. He was great in that.
Oh, yeah.
Moonstruck. He's fantastic with his cameo in that. 8 Men Out. Say Anything, where he played the dad who didn't want his daughter dating John Cusack. What a great actor. Even though he is best known for playing American characters, Mahoney was actually British, which I did not know.
I did not know that.
He was also a Tony winner for The House of Blue Leaves in 1986. Cusack tweeted, quote, "Great actor, lovely, kind human. Anytime you saw him, you left feeling better. R.I.P. John." So, Frasier's dad, that's what everybody remembers him for.
I love the fact that he did so much theater because that's obviously his passion.
Right.
That's not where the money is, but he was able later in life to spend a lot of time on the stage, and I think that's awesome.
And Say Anything, the character he played was he went to jail for tax evasion, right?
I think at the end, yeah.
Fantastic character. And just that gritty, you know, he just balanced Frasier out, you know. And when you have character actors like that, that's really a reason why a show becomes a
superstar. Yeah, he needs to be grounded because Frasier and his brother were both over the top.
Niles.
Yeah, Niles, exactly. Thank you. Niles Crane.
Yes. Anyway, if you didn't know, Doritos is owned by PepsiCo and the CEO of PepsiCo. That was my power.
You forget.
And the CEO is a woman named Indra Nooyi. Mm-hmm. But even though she's a lady, apparently she hasn't heard that stuff like this really doesn't fly these days. She was just interviewed on a podcast. I don't know which one. Omericast, maybe. And she revealed that there are plans for a new line of Doritos for women.
And have you ever made a chip for a woman?
Basically, they're less crunchy, they've got less cheese powder, and they come in bags that will easily fit into a purse. Quote, women don't like to crunch too loudly in public, and they don't lick their fingers generously, and they don't like to pour the little broken pieces into their mouth. But women love to carry a snack in their purse. Sounds like 1950, doesn't it?
It really does. Make sure you have a cold drink waiting for your man when he comes home.
The reaction on Twitter has been about as sarcastic as you'd expect. One person wrote, has anyone at Doritos ever met a lady? And another person wrote, quote, Doritos, we've been through enough this year. But if you're looking forward to small bags of modified Doritos that you can eat demurely, unfortunately, we don't know when they might come out. So that
I want some
weird
modified snacks, please.
Yeah, Doritos for women. Ain't it special?
PepsiCo.
According to a recent study in the UK, just using the word snack might make you eat more than if you called it a small meal instead. Two groups of women were given the same amount of pasta. One group ate it while sitting at a table, so it was more like a meal. The other group was told they were eating a, quote, snack. And had to eat out of a plastic bowl while standing up. So it was the same amount of food, but it felt more like a snack.
Snacks
are good.
Yeah, snacks.
Then later on, the researchers put some sweets out and let them eat as much as they wanted. Why am I turning into Jeff Bridges again?
And the snack eaters consumed twice as many sweets. Oh, I'm going to knock my mic down. No! No!
No! No! No! If I was forced to guess, Mike, I would think that Bo would be more of the guy that liked the sweets.
Hey, how about some M&M's?
God damn it!
Is it Michelle Pfeiffer that falls off the piano?
Yes, climbs on the piano and the Baker Boy.
But falls off.
Yes, ultimately she does, yeah.
Later on, they put the sweets out, let them eat as much. The snack eaters consume twice as many sweets. In other words, just calling it a snack instead of a meal made them feel like they hadn't eaten very much. So, but they ate the same amount of pasta.
That's crazy, Mr. Bridges.
So they yeah, how about... Was it linguine with white clam sauce?
That's his favorite.
Overindulge on dessert. They did that. Anyway, now a little something-something. I'm back, so we might as well get right to it. A 60-year-old woman named Cheryl Merrill.
Hey, that's terrific.
She's from Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Yes, she is.
What state?
Florida.
Okay. Yeah.
She was watching the Super Bowl with her boyfriend on Sunday, and during the first quarter, they got into a drunk argument over who would win. Cheryl got so upset that she picked up a wooden shelf and threw it at her boyfriend.
Oh, of course she did.
Wow. And it hit him in the hand. She was arrested for aggravated battery. Unfortunately, we don't know which team she was rooting for, but we do have first one of 2018, one of the first ones of 2018, the Florida slogan of the day.
A new slogan. Great.
Here it is. Florida, if it ain't nailed down, you can use it as a weapon. Thank you very much.
Very good. That's it.
Very good. Throw the show away. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike O'Meara. On the next episode of Political Persuasions, Chris Freitz and I break down the State of the Union address. We talk about Joe Kennedy III and what that stuff was on his lip. We talk about the Nunez memo. We also open the listener mailbag, and I find out that every time I rant and Chris corrects me, there are listeners that really, really love it. Political Persuasions, everybody's talking about it. Check it out right here at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
You can download Political Persuasions on iTunes. MikeO'MearaShow.com, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. It's almost Valentine's Day. Do you want to impress that special someone in your life? Do you want to let them know how dear and precious they are to you? Do you want to guarantee that you get some trim on the national holiday of romantic love? Well, Casanova, how about the TMOS bonus show?
Yeah!
The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week that will make you feel like Cupid just shot an arrow of hilarity right in your ass. Just go to MikeO'MearaShow.com.
It's a good feeling.
And click the bonus banner, and it makes a great gift. Now available in a heart-shaped box that smells like potpourri, rose petals, and desire. While supplies last. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping a TMOS. Stop being a sorry bastard, because love means never having to say you're sorry, okay?
Right.
So please quit sucking, and thank you. Now, without further ado, let's get the audio vault on here. We're running short on time. Here's Rob Spiewak on Tuesday, Feb 6, 2018. Take it away, Rob.
We all love our wives.
Absolutely.
I love Carrie to, you know, as much as I've ever loved anyone in my life.
You're lying.
She's so great, but I don't know that I could do this. Kristen Bell was on a video podcast called Momsplaining.
Uh-huh.
And she talked about when she was suffering from mastitis. Do you know what that is?
Do not.
That is a backup of breast milk that can cause infection as well.
Oh, I did not know that.
And they were not able to get to a doctor, but her husband, Dax Shepard, was able to help her out.
The third time I had it, I was in Atlanta. We couldn't call a doctor, and this was right after the baby stopped nursing.
Oh, my.
So I said to my husband, I said, I'm going to need you to suck this out. We could talk about it, we could be weird about it, or you could just go ahead and nurse. Right?
Did he?
Yes.
And did it work?
Yeah, he pulled it out. He had a cup next to him. Ugh. He was pulling out and spitting into this cup. And I've never been more in love.
I know that that can cause infections, and I would be the first one to go and get an antibiotic for my wife and say, I really wish you all the best, but I could not do that. I could not.
Go to Toys R Us, buy a Super Soaker.
Or I think it would have to be the other direction.
But you could just cut the back off and then just start pumping.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know what, MacGyver? When the time comes, you might have the chance to practice that. You know? But also, I was thinking, you know, excuse me, but the real answer, what about breast pumps?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense in which that's credibility.
Yeah. Well,
there's not a lady that breastfeeds that does not
have
a
breast jackets
pump.
With them built into them.
I have one right now.
But do you agree?
Shoes.
There is no such thing, unless the breast pump wasn't cutting it, but it would seem to me that's how you would do it, right?
I think that there is a 50% chance of that and a 100% chance that Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell like attention.
Yeah, because really, here's the deal. That happens to most women who are breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm, and some
men. They get
a
buildup because the baby can't consume that.
Yes.
And the fact is, that's how you deal with it. I have to pump.
Yeah.
I'm too engorged.
Yeah.
That happens.
I can't.
Sorry.
No, that's what I said. Wrap my head around it.
That's what I said on the plane coming back down.
Speaking of engorged, last night was The Bachelor. Oscar?
Yes.
The villain, Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
She was sent home.
Do you mind if I interrupt for 2 seconds?
And she was not happy.
It's always hard to say goodbye, but it's especially hard to say goodbye to you.
This is such I'm
good
floored.
Sport.
I'm just floored. I put myself out there for Ari, and I put up with a lot of Like, I was weak, and I'm never weak. It hurts to not feel good enough.
She's a classy lady. You're going home. Well, that's BS.
She was so much trouble.
But don't you think they would have held her on for a little longer?
Well, you can only go crazy until someone has to fall in love.
I suppose.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when she's always peeking in on the other dates, you're like, hey, I'm trying to sleep with this other woman here. You keep on coming into this room.
You know, when you guys have these discussions every week, sometimes I get that close to maybe looking.
Just taking a peek?
Just like, what night is it on?
It's Monday nights. You should take
it's a Monday night
it's
show.
It's a Monday night thing. And you know what's great is when they say a phrase like, after the 2-on-1 date. Now, speaking of crazy, and also because you had a flight, how would you have reacted if you were on a flight that had nothing to do with Philadelphia, nothing to do with New England, but the PA system was hijacked by Jennifer Lawrence?
Everybody, this is not the pilot speaking. This is Jennifer Lawrence. It's February 4th. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We all know what that means. Can I please just get a fly, Eagles, fly? Eagles, fly! Fly! Eagles, fly! Fly! Eagles, fly!
Really an ambivalent crowd. I mean, that's a big Hollywood star doing that.
But a cool, if you really, really, I guess, get really deep into the fact that she made a movie with Bradley Cooper, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, he was an Eagles fan.
And
right?
De Niro's his father, who's the big Eagles.
Yeah, so the idea that she was going to the Super Bowl and she remembered that and she cared enough to do something dumb like that, that's fun.
Yeah, how thrilling is that to be on that flight and have somebody, and then right after that, somebody farted.
That's right. And then you won't believe what Dax Shepard did to her. Let's close with this. I think one of the coolest plays of the Super Bowl, and the one that will go down in history, is quarterback Foles catching a pass instead of first guy to ever throw and receive for a touchdown.
I watched that play 1,000 times. That was just as ballsy and innovative and what it's all about.
Cool.
And That, to me, if the NFL keeps pulling that kind of stuff where you never know what kind of plays are going to happen, bring it on. It makes it more fun. You know, there's nothing more dull than they got an incredible offensive line and they're going to pound the ground game. No, people want to see that fun, crazy stuff.
Well, did you know that trick play actually had a name?
According to Coach Doug Peterson, last night's trick touchdown pass to Eagles quarterback Nick Foles was nicknamed the Philly Special. It replaces the old Philly Special, barfing a cheesesteak into a trash can while people whip batteries at you.
Batteries, Mike. Never forget. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
While people throw batteries at you. That's a great tip-in right there. Seth Meyers might have the best writers in late.
I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day, The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.